Dear Heavenly Father, we love and appreciate you so much. We love you for your goodness and your kindness. And Father, I'm beginning to realize how your love grows in me is the fact that I spend time with you. That I take every opportunity to be in your presence. And what a blessing that has turned out to be. Not only for my own personal life, Father, but for the benefit of others in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want us to read a couple of verses out of Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Boy, that's a whole lot right there in that part. The word anxious literally means to be in anxiety. Comes with it a form of fear. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The word for supplications and prayers, there are two different words there. One is referring to general prayer, but supplication is referring to a person who prays and supplicates on behalf of another person. So this verse is not only covering your personal prayer life, but the prayers that you pray for other people. He goes and says, let your requests be made known to God. And notice the next verse, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Now that's a counteraction to the word anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Because he's telling you that prayer for yourself or for people, once those requests are made known to God, he says the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And the word understanding there is a very interesting word. It literally means what you know. What you know for the reason of your prayers or what you know for supplicating for others. There's a knowledge in that, of course. We all know that. Amen? And he says, he will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's talking about prayer. Most of us are so much into anxiety and stress, we're so situational that we don't realize because of the situations we get into, they are to be counteracted in a reaction that first of all involves God. How many of you have been in a situation and finally somebody said, have you ever prayed about this? You go, oh, yeah, I should do that. You know, we don't think that prayer is our first line of defense for everything. And I've learned that you don't have to pray when you have need of something or you want to pray for somebody. Sometimes you can just pray to have fellowship with God. Well, that's a thought, isn't it? We can actually go to God and not ask for anything and just talk with Him and fellowship with Him. You know what He does? He likes fellowshipping right through you, through the Word to you. He does it to me more and more all the time. And most people go to God complaining. Most people go to God and say, God, what are you going to do about that person? And they hadn't even thought about supplicating for him. But I want to talk to you again from the last time I spoke about prayer. And I have learned to be at peace with people, especially if I know where they are in prayer. And a lot of times they don't have to tell me where they're at in prayer. It just comes out of their mouth if I fellowship with them long enough. And so if I find that they're not consistent with a communication with the Father, I am more careful how I fellowship with them. simply because I know that they're not in that place where they're personally having an interaction with the Father. Because it's so important to have an interaction with Him. And the first thing that will tell you whether a person maintains a consistent prayer life, are they always in a lot of anxiety? Are they always dealing with problems consistently? See, many believers become self-inflicted victims as a result of incorrect behavior, wrong judgment calls, financial strain or pressure. None of us really know what that's all about, you know. Undisciplined, unchecked habits. Most problems begin in the natural realm first. Then, if they're not dealt with through communicating with the Father, they move over into demonic attacks. I had a little statement that I made long ago. Pray or be prayed upon. Pray or be prayed upon. Prayer is so important. It is probably one of the most difficult things that you'll ever encounter outside of money when it comes to serving the kingdom of God. You constantly fight the battle of prayer. Simply because your inner person has a willingness to communicate to its creator, but the outer person doesn't really want to. You see, your physical body and your carnal mind, they have a desire for the things of God, but when it gets committed to the responsibility of the desires of the things of God, there's where your flesh then retorts. It doesn't want anything to do with something it can't benefit from. You guys following me? Well, I don't know if I want to go into this church anymore. I want to go where they always talk about faith and power and encourage you. Well, I'll tell you what. You can go to a church where you can get encouraged all you want, but life doesn't change. I mean, I wish going to the right church would alleviate all my problems. If that was the case, my message would be centered around what church to attend. But the thing that I'm committing to you today will be more advantageous to you than I know of anything else. Now, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You all ought to know where to go from there, seeing how Rick Renner covered this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want us to go to verse 7. In verse 7 it says, after all that Rick Renner preached, he comes to verse 7, he says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, he just got through speaking about the last days, which Rick covered, and he covered it well. He said this also got into the church. Well, I'm believing who he's referring to here is church members and what happened to him. But then he comes down to something that's very key. He says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I don't know how many times you probably have people in your life that go to church constantly, day in and day out, and then all of a sudden they come into conflict and they react differently than what you would expect them to react. And the first thing that you will say is, Well, they've been going to church. They've been hearing the Word of God. Why would they react that way? How many of you know what I'm talking about? And I know they've heard the Word. Well, you know, it's not good alone to just hear the Word and gather knowledge, thinking that's your victory. Most believers think that because they learn something, then they'll have victory. That's just the beginning. When you learn something fresh or new, that's usually the beginning of something. What you need to realize, it's not only referring to hearing something and having the knowledge, it's being able to perform what you hear. Amen? And that's what really counts. You know, it's very interesting. Some of my commentaries say that James contradicts Romans, because over there in Romans, he says that Abraham was justified apart from works. But when you get over into James said a man's justified by his works. They're kind of contradicting each other, but they're not. See, you don't have to work to receive the promises of God. But how do you know? Once you have the promises of God, you'll work through those promises. It'll create an action for you. And so that's why a lot of Christians get so disheartened and so hurt or so offended or retort against the kingdom of God, because they heard the Word, they received it with joy, but the problem was when the affliction and persecution came, they easily departed from their position spiritually. I'm going to tell you something. The most unhappy person on planet Earth is a person who was once a believer, walking in church, walking in the presence of God, got out of the presence of God, and from that moment on, all they could do is walk with God under condemnation. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's because all God can do is communicate back to them in a convicting way. That's how they receive Him. And He does not do that. One thing, if you step away from God, He won't step away from you, but He'll sure wait for you. You know, we have to understand that. But notice He said they're always learning, and this is what puzzled me. How could they always learn something and never be able to come to the knowledge of that truth? So it isn't enough that you learn something. It's also you have to become acquainted to the knowledge of that truth. Well, that threw me off until I was reading it out of my interlinear, and the word here for knowledge is not the normal word for knowledge, gnosko. It isn't that word. It is called the word of epigenosko. And it's referring to revelation knowledge. So people can hear the word of God but never come to the revelation of it. You want to know why you can never come to the revelation of the Word of God? It's because when it says that it has to be revealed to you, the only way that that comes in a revelation is by a participation with something higher than natural knowledge. This word literally means a more thorough participation in the inquiring of that knowledge on the part of the learner, which very powerfully influences the personal involvement of the one's life to whom changes him. So when a person has revelation, it means that the reason he has what he has in what he's learned is because he had inquired for a more personal participation of that knowledge, so that the person to whom gave him the over the natural knowledge, gave him that supernatural knowledge, is because it began to change him. See, God didn't come to just feed our fat heads. He came to give us life more abundantly. And one of the ways that the knowledge of God really will work for you is that God's knowledge doesn't stay on a natural plane. God's knowledge gives you insight for a higher place of understanding as you walk in this world. And I found that the only way that I came to any higher understanding of knowledge is my prayer closet. Fellowshipping with Him. And so when He says here, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, it began to dawn on me that evidently these type of people, because it just mentioned what they'd gotten into, what these type of people got involved in and everything, it dawned on me that they've been walking out their Christianity through a natural plane rather than a spiritual plane. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. You cannot become spiritual by any natural means. There is no perfect place to go to find the perfect doctrine to change you. The person that changes you is our Heavenly Father. Period, over and out. And in order for Him to change you, you have to be willing to talk to Him. Is this helping you a little bit? Good. So, we covered nine points the last time I spoke. And there are points that I have written down here that I personally go back to occasionally to refresh myself when I get, believe it or not, there are times when I go into my prayer closet, I don't feel like I'm in my prayer closet. I'm just there. I don't vegetate because I do talk, but sometimes I feel like I'm just vegetating. I'm going to tell you, your carnal mind and your physical body cannot stand too much of prayer. If it gets too much prayer, it's going to retaliate. Especially when you start drawing closer to the presence of God when you pray. Guess what? The closer you get to Him, the more holy the ground has to become. I believe that God was very symbolic when He spoke to Moses, and Moses started to enter the burning bush and get into His presence. And the first thing God asked him is take off the shoes. Moses. Remove thy sandals. Was that good or what? Well, it's symbolic. You can't approach God and get into His presence where you need to be on your own walk. At first, God would permit it, but eventually, He will ask you to put off. What? Not only for the sake of yourself, but for others as well. And so we covered the 9 points. Decide what you want. Because James 1, 6 through 8 says double-mindedness receives nothing. Matter of fact, you're not even to let a guy even think that he would receive anything from God if he has two minds going at work within him. And then the second point that we brought out, ask God for the wisdom necessary for what you want. James 1, 5 says the first line of defense you need is to understand wisdom. You know, we always approach God, we want to make sure we're in the faith. God wants to make sure you understand the wisdom for what your faith has to be based on. Say. Number 3, are you fully persuaded in your faith? In Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, it's very interesting. Let's go there. Let's go there. Let's use the word a little bit here this morning in case some people might think, what planet did I get off of? Romans chapter 4, and let's go to verse 20. Romans 4, verse 20 and 21. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was empowered. Some of you might have strengthened in your, but in the Greek it's empowered by faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to do. Now, some of you might have performed, but it's to do. I read it to you out of the Greek. Now, let's read that again. He did not waver, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was empowered by faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. God fully persuaded him that what he had promised, he was able also able to do. You know, it's very interesting how we go to God and we ask him of things, or we want to get involved with him. But have you ever noticed that a lot of times we go to him doubtfully? We're not fully persuaded in what we're going to even ask him. And did you know that you and I have the author and finisher of our faith? It's all there in Scripture, completed. Nothing more to add to it, nothing more to take away with. But you know what? We add a lot of stuff to it, and we take a lot of stuff away from it. We shouldn't even be messing with. We should go and look for the revealed will of God and perform it according to what He has revealed to us. I forgot who told me. He said, one day we were talking about prayer, and I said, yeah, I go to God and I flat ask Him for this and for that. And I forgot who it was that said something to me. They said, well, you just can't go to God and ask Him for whatever you want. And I looked at them and I says, I don't go to God and ask Him for whatever I want. I know better than that. I go to God and ask Him for what He has revealed to me that I need. Oh, yeah, on that basis, I agree with that. So are you fully persuaded in your faith? Then I said, read Scripture for what you need. Hebrews 10:32 or 23 brings that out. Let's go over there to Hebrews 10:23 real quickly. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. Do you know there's a lively hope that we have been given in God? How many of you know that? The Bible says there's a lively hope that has been given you. Hope is an anchor of the soul. People who do not have the Word of God anchoring their thinking, their mind. If their mind or their thinking is not anchored by the Word of God, they will drift. They will float from one place to another. They will accept one doctrine over another because the Word of God puts an anchor to your thinking. It causes you to become steadfast and solid. And Hebrews brings that out. He said, Jesus is our hope, who went into heaven as the forerunner for us and secured everything that our faith had need of for the wisdom behind it. And it says He anchored us to that place of hope so that the Word of God would cause an anchor to our soul. Now, the forerunner that Hebrews was talking about was not the forerunner like Moses was to Joshua. You know, one preceded the other. That's not what it's referring to. It's talking about a forerunner of a ship. A forerunner of a ship would stand at the front of the boat, and he would be casting a weight connected to a rope into the water because there would be fog settling into the shore. And they weren't sure, if you couldn't see the shore, where the rocks were. Because the boat could crash into the rocks. And they wanted to make sure that the boat wouldn't be bottomed out. And so this forerunner would keep throwing the rope in and the weight, and he would give a read back to the one that was in charge of how the boat's going to go forward or backwards, giving him a readout. And when it got dangerously low, that meant they were close to the shore, then the forerunner would take the rope and tie it around his waist and jump into the water and swim to the shore. And what he would do, he would take the rope then and anchor it on something solid so that they would have the ship then anchored solid to a place that would be all right, to where they could all go to shore. You see. Well, that's what Jesus says. He's the forerunner. He knew what you had need of. There was nothing hid from him that was not hid, that he did not prepare the word of God to make sure that he, being your forerunner, would bring an anchor to your soul, would bring you peace and stability to a world that will bring you anxiety. And when you go to God and ask him, what you're doing is you're communicating back to the forerunner who says it's okay to come to the shore of your faith. See, it's okay. Praise God. So you need to read Scripture for what you need. Then Mark 11, 23 and 24 covers three areas that I talked about. Believe that you've received when you pray. Watch what you say with your mouth after you prayed. And refuse to doubt. Doubt comes from the mind of the senses, and it can only affirm what it sees. So when you pray, you must believe when you pray that you've received, not when you see it. Because if you're looking to see it, then your carnal mind will tell you, you don't got it yet. And the Scripture there does not say. And then when you get it, believe that you've received it. It says when you pray, believe that you've received it. And then you shall have it. And he talks about those verses. Be careful what you say. Once you go to God and you ask him for something, then turn around and complain to your neighbor. I never get what I always ask God for. What is wrong with me? Is there something wrong with me? And God said, nothing wrong with you. I'm going to answer you. It's coming. And you turn around, well, I must not have got it. Well, he don't hear my prayers. And God says, well, I'm operating under authority. I can't do it. Delay change. It's their authority in the earth that I act on. And then number 8, meditate continually on the promises. Philippians 4:8 says that. You know, so many of us are meditating on the wrong thing that we seem to forget the right thing that we prayed concerning His will. Philippians 4:8 says, meditate on them things. Whatever is lovely, pure, of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, meditate on it. He was telling you how to fix your soul. And then give God praise for providing you. Now, I want you to think this way, because one day it hit me when I was praying. Do you know how privileged you are to talk to the Creator of the universe? You know, you need to give your mind to something else other than doubt. You need to give your mind to how great God is. If there's any virtue or strength, you know, we need to think on that. We go to God like, God, do you really know what I'm in? God, do you really know what my kids are going through? You know, we go to God like he's not really plugged in. And my Bible tells me he has thoughts towards me that are good. He's thinking about me all the time. You know, Dean Braxton's testimony just thrilled me. When he said he felt like a salmon going upstream, he just knew where to go. Once he left his body here, his spirit knew right where to go. He felt like a salmon going upstream, knew where to go. Boom, he was going. And he said as he was going up there at the speed of thought, wow. He said there were things passing him. Remember him sharing that testimony? Things were going past him. And he asked the Lord what that was. He says, the prayers of the saints. Isn't it amazing how, you know what, have any of you ever experienced not praying about something, but thinking about something, and you got it, and you knew it was from God? Did you know sometimes He'll answer your thoughts before you even ask Him? Do you know that scripturally? He says, before they ask, I will answer. That's what that's referring to. Sometimes I'll have a good thought, and God will see the opportunity to just bless me with the good thought I had, just to show you how much He loves you. Glory to God. Man alive. There's that little time period that you'll always have in the exercising your faith with God, and He'll just give you a little shot. You won't even ask right, and He'll still give you a little shot. Just to show you, I love you so much that I want you convinced that your authority from this place to there will work. I like that. Hey, I said I like that. Ooh, I'd hate to have a religious concept of God. I'm very humble. What do you want? If it'll be your will. I've had people ask me to pray for them, providing God had the time. Now, I know God's busy, but do you think that He would be interested in if I asked this of Him? Are you serious? Does God got things going on up there where He's going to miss something? Can you imagine a prayer coming up and an angel go to him about a particular prayer that you were praying and God says, I don't have the time right now. I'm real busy. Put that one on the shelf. We'll catch it later. But God, you said timely needs. In a timely need. This is timely, like yesterday. I'm busy. You know, we think God thinks like we think. God don't think like we think. I got the Bible that says that. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. The Lord. So if you start thinking that way, you ain't got His thoughts. If you ain't got His thoughts, then forget about the prayer. If some of you do. Now, I've got 10 points that make prayer so important for your life. Without these 10 points, and listen, you cannot as a believer walk through life expecting everybody to pray for you, supplicate for you, and bail you out of everything that you behave yourself into. That just ain't going to work with God. Eventually he's going to kick back and say, I will laugh at how you do things. I don't like that. How did I get here? And God's up there. God don't like being put in that position. These 10 points are so important. If you get these down on the inside of you, you'll learn to respect your prayer life. You know, I like what Lynette Hagin said one time. It was so, so powerful. She said, if your prayer time
was your source of energy, some of you couldn't light a light bulb. I thought that was so good. If your prayer life is the indication of the power of God that you have, some of you couldn't light a light bulb. Gosh, I like that. I wish I thought of it. These 10 points, very important. I'll go slow enough to get these down because we're going to take a couple more Sundays on praying, on prayer. Is that all right with you guys? All right. I call this prayer brings the perfect 10. I've preached this to you before. Number one, have you ever noticed that people, when they don't pray, they just run and do things? And then it preoccupies their time so much they don't have time for God. And then they turn around and say, when I get this settled, then I'll give my full time to the Lord. These people are not people of prayer. They put God in the doggy baggy situation. And you can get into a lot of trouble doing God that way. Now, we are living in a very busy time period. Even the people you work for anymore, they want you to make money today that they've already spent yesterday. Prayer brings the perfect 10 for you. This one is really an important point, having a prayer life, to find answers for your every needful situation. Wow. You mean to tell me if I pray, I'm going to find answers for my every needful situation? Mm-hmm. Guess what? We read it in Philippians 4, 6, 7. Pray. Everything. Put prayer and supplication to it, right? Well, just number one. If you have a prayer life, you will find answers for your every needful situation. Boy, that would be enough to get you to pray right there, right? Do you notice that a lot of believers going, I don't know how I got into what I got into. Because they're not praying about it. Number two, to locate direction to where you belong. To locate a direction where you belong. People that don't pray never know where God wants them. They're always lost. Well, I'm trying to find His will, but I just don't know what it is anymore. There's a lack of communication. Hey, ladies, how would you like a husband that never talked to you? The Lindsay looks over there. You're supposed to receive that for yourself. Ooh, my wife points her finger at me. To locate direction to where you belong. Point number three is very important. And many believers do not understand this. When you pray, it bonds you to the Lord. When you pray, it bonds you to the Lord. And what I mean by bonding to the Lord, it means you find His heart. And then you react with Him according to His heart. And His heart is for everybody. Amen. So it bonds you to the Lord. Did you know 1 John is very interesting? Throughout that entire book, all five little chapters, he says that they can say one thing, but they produce something else. They're called a liar. And it says, for they know not God. And the word know there is the word gnosko. It's not oida. Oida means their fellowship with God was not approved. Do you know you can go to God and talk to God, and it's a one-way conversation. Everything has got to center itself around you. That is a very unhealthy prayer life. Because you will go to God and you will be telling God that your issues with your life is all predicated on what somebody else did to you. You ain't going to get nowhere with God like that. I don't care what anybody says. You just won't. It bonds you to people because you find the heart of the Lord. He bonds you to people. That was the point number four. I'm sorry. Point number one, to find answers for every needful situation. Point number two, to locate direction to where you belong. Point number three, it bonds you to the Lord. Point number three, He bonds you to people. Yeah, point number four. Would I say three again? Point number four. Point number four. He bonds you to people. Boy, the Lord will bond you to somebody you thought you'd never get bonded to. And a lot of times when you bond to people, doesn't necessarily mean the Lord's going to put you right next to them again where they can bite you. But the Lord will put you in a position to where you can supplicate for that person. See, most people do not understand the difference between discernment and judgment. Matter of fact, that's my message for tonight. I'm going to show you in Scripture a very vital, important part of understanding our walk with the Father and with each other, is to understand the difference between discernment and judgment. Most believers end over in judgment rather than discernment. And so when you talk to them and they don't understand that, most of the time they think that you're coming from an area of judgment when you're actually coming from an area of discernment. And so you have to understand that when you're dealing with people, because everyone has a blowout every once in a while. And so God will bond you to people in a way you could be more of an asset to Him than a liability. Point number five, it builds the very basic thing you inherit when you get saved. It builds the check in you to follow the Spirit. It builds the check in you to follow the Spirit. Now, many of us don't realize, I had no idea of it until I read Kenneth Hagin's book on how to be led by the Spirit of God. And when I read that book, it just literally changed my whole concept of being, of following the Spirit. Because there's two ways that you follow the Spirit of God. One way is through His revealed will for you. In other words, what He has revealed in Scripture for you, you can on purpose take that revealed will and walk in it. That's called a walk of the Spirit. Peripetos, walk, like what Rick was saying. It's something you can repeat over and over again. You deliberately walk by a revealed will. But Kenneth Hagin brought something out I'd never seen before. I taught this here. That how to be led by the Spirit is not the same as a walk of the Spirit. It literally means something you can't go and find in Scripture about you. It doesn't have your name on it. Although Scripture does apply to you, but I'm talking about your personal life. Something you can't go in here and find Jan Butler's personal life. How many of you know that? You're not mentioned in Scripture as a personality unless you were the personality. Are you following me? So you have what you call a personal life. And there's where how to be led by the Spirit of God comes in. That means that if you can walk in the Spirit, it's easier for God to lead you by the Spirit. Do you want me to give you an example of that? I preach from my pulpit that you should not baptize babies, infants, and because they don't know what water baptism is. They have to get to an age of accountability where they understand what water baptism, bury the old man, resurrect. And you know that is a deep theological understanding, whether people believe it or not. And so I just said, don't do it. We were out on our picnic out at Spanaway Lake. And one of the ladies saw us baptizing that wasn't a part of our group. Bill, do you remember that? You were there, Bill and Sethi. And she ran over with her little baby onto the shore. And she said, Mr. Pastor, Mr. Pastor, would you baptize my little baby? And there was about 500 people on the shore looking at me and looking at the baby and looking back at me. And here I have thoroughly instructed him, you don't baptize babies. I said, bring me the baby. And so she brought me the baby, and I said, now you got to come in here with me, and you got to help me, because when I dunk that little baby down, you know, you got to make sure that he's going to be okay and everything. She said, oh, I will. And so I baptized the little baby. And so everybody gets off. You know how many people came up to me and said, why did you do that? You said you shouldn't baptize little babies. I said, you know that it's not necessary to baptize a little baby. Yeah. I said, she didn't. See, I could have been a religious freak to her. I could have told her, no, you're not accepted by God, so why should I baptize your little baby? She was a Christian, but she didn't have the same knowledge that we had. See, because we're not religious. That's a tradition of men that have no substance. That's what has destroyed more believers and unbelievers than anything else, is religious tradition, because they don't think of a person's heart where they're at. No sensitivity there. No understanding. So point number five, it builds a sensitivity in your heart to love. Number six, it builds the check in you to follow the Spirit. Number seven. Oh, I'm sorry, I threw you off. Okay, I'll do it over again real quick. Number one, find answers to every needful situation. Number two, to locate direction to where you belong. Number three, it bonds you to the Lord. Number four, he bonds you to people. Number five, it builds a sensitivity in your heart to love. Oh, did I skip that one? So I made a mistake. Pray for me. Well, that example I just gave, it builds a sensitivity in your heart. That's a good example right there. I was sensitive to where the lady was. Amen? So I really didn't... Yes, I missed it. I'm copping out. Point number eight. Take over, John. Point number seven. Are you there? Point number seven is to exercise your redemptive authority. To exercise your redemptive authority. Believe it or not, there are a lot of Christians that do not know how to approach God on their redemptive authority. I know I made some mistakes this morning, but you can believe what I got to say. Some of you are looking at me. Oh, really? So point number eight, to build your most holy faith. That's praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. Point number nine. Oh, this is a wait, right? Okay, as long as it's a wait. Point number eight, to build your most holy faith. Should you type these up, John? You've already typed these up. Yeah, prayer. Prayer brings a perfect 10. You ran it off. You had it on your computer. Yeah. So we'll get you the notes for next Sunday. Point number nine. Follow me. Enough today. I'll quit right after. Do you want me to save the last two for next? To receive special enlightenment. You cannot understand revelation without prayer. It just won't work. That's where we covered that over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And the last point... Point number nine is to receive special enlightenment. And point number 10 is prayer is the way God uses it to discipline you according to the way your heart will become guarded. God has a way of guarding your heart when you pray, because life does not deal with you favorably. God has a way to guard your heart from unfavorable situations or circumstances in life. Because remember, we read over there in Philippians where it said, and the peace of God, that peace we all need. See? So we'll stop there and we'll continue on next Sunday. Do you like talking about prayer? You guys like it? It's so important for our life, because if more of us would pray, we would find ourselves a lot happier walking in Him. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads, everyone. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You how powerful it is. Father, we want to move more out in the area of the gifts of the Spirit and words from You. Father, we like it when we get teaching and everything, but Father, we'd sure like You to show up more often. And I think the reason is that a lot of us don't come with an expectancy. Well, we're going to start coming as a church with expectancy before You, Father. And so move in Your people's hearts for that supernatural impartation to help them. In Jesus' name. Because sometimes we just need this, Father, from You. We don't need it from what's in us. We need it from what's in You. Bless Your people, even the ones that I've talked to today. Father, bless them beyond where they're at. Move them forward in their life. Like that one couple, You're going to move them forward in their life. Father, we just trust that You're going to move all of us forward in our life. Hallelujah. So with every head bowed, if you're here today and you want to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, then feel free. Feel free to come up and receive Him. If you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, feel free to come up and receive the Spirit. If you want to recommit your life to the Lord, feel free to recommit it to the Lord. Feel free to do that in Jesus' name. So if you're here, and I touched on one of those areas that are needful, salvation, restoration, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Yes, and even physical healing. If you want to be prayed for, step out now and come up here. Anybody, just feel free to do it right now. Father, I thank You for Your wonderful people. And may they have a blessed day, and may they meditate on the things I shared with them in Jesus' name. And Father, may they forgive me of my mistakes this morning. Amen. I'd sneak that in there. Hallelujah.